Today's daf in Masechet Tanit, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Chavav, and we're holding right at the Halakha Mishnah that Sir Richard introduced yesterday, and we're ready to go. B'shlosha prakim b'shana. What we're about to do is enter into a brand new world, which we have not even examined before, and this is the world of the Ma'amadot, which has a surprising interrelationship with the whole inyan of Masechet Ta'anit. So remember, Masechet Ta'anit essentially is built around the response that we're supposed to have to the things that happen around us, and the way in which we are therefore b'sha'as hatzora, we're responsive to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. However, there is a whole other world of Ta'anit, which the Rambam brings also at the end of the Dinim of Ta'anit, and he explains that although that's the normal halacha of a ta'anit, there are also the special ta'aniyot that are kavuim in order for us to reconnect to the nature of the human condition, to our history, and to our failures and need for continued development. And to see this as being something that stretches across the entire nature of Maaseh Bereishis. Now, based on that, this entire parak has a completely different focus. And that focus interrelates two things. One is what the Rambam spoke about just now, which are the four taniyot that force us into confronting the destructiveness across the centuries of what has ended up destroying the Batei Mikdashim, what destroyed Kabbalah Satera, and so on and so forth, together with a completely different thing that you wouldn't have initially thought belongs in Masechet Ta'anit. And that is the dinim of the Ma'amadot. Now, this concept of Ma'amadot is something that has a great deal to do with Seder Kodshim. Nonetheless, as you're about to see, it's really most deeply connected to the dinim of Masechet Ta'anit. What the Ma'amadot are is a Mishmorot, 24 Mishmarot, which we call 24 Ma'amadot, but the truth is the idea of Ma'amad applies sometimes, we'll use it loosely to apply to the Mishmaros of the Kohen and the Leviah, and we'll use the other one to apply to the Ma'amad. But technically speaking, when the Nevi'im HaRishonim, which first the David Shmuel and the changes that occurred later at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, we ended up with 24 Mishmarot, each Mishmar of Kohuna, each Mishmar of Leviah that was parallel to the Mishmar of Kohuna that would work together with those Kohanim. The Kohanim would work on the Korbanos, obviously, and the Inyonim of the different type of Korbanos, Tzibur, Yochid, and so on. And the Leviim would work on the Shmira of the Mikdash, and there was a little overlap there, if you recall, that some of the 24 Mekamas, like the 24 Mishmarais, the 24 Mekamas were partially watched over by Kohanim, partially watched over Leviim, and that's the overlap. The Leviim were essentially the musicians and the ones that were in charge of the opening the Sha'arim and closing the Sha'arim and taking on other tasks as were needed by the Kohuna. But then there's another problem. The other problem is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to all of Yisrael when it comes to the korbanos. And it says this, korbani lachmi l'ishai reach nichochi tishmeru la'akriv b'moado. What is tishmeru? Now, tishmeru, we know, mishmarot, right? So tishmeru has to do with taking responsibility and seeing to it that things come off. Now, I understand that that makes sense when it comes to the Kohanim and when it comes to the Leviim. What is the level of the tishmeru that we're referring to all of Yisrael? Well, the truth is that when an individual brings a korban, that korban is something that is deeply connected to the individual. So just if we have a halacha of smicha on the korban, there is a question of tishmuru, to be there when the korban is being brought for you, and to recognize that Kohen is doing a shlichas, that's what's machlokas, is it your shlichas, is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu shlichas, but the fact is, this is your korban. The person is aimed on his korban. Now, obviously, you can't have all of Klal Yisrael squeezing into the Beis HaMikdash and being there every single day in order to be aimed on every korban. So what was done was that Klal Yisrael as a whole through Beis Din appoints representative. Those representatives are going to be the one that are oimed on the karbanas, and there are 24 ma'amadot, which parallel the 24 mishmarot of the kuna, that parallel the 24 mishmarot of the leviyah, and they would be oimed together 1 week at a time, together with the mishmar that they were with, together with the mishmar leviyah that they were with, and they would stay in Yerushalayim, and they would be oimed on the karban as it was brought. But suddenly, we discover that there's a much broader application to the idea of the ma'amad, because it's not simply to be there physically with the korban, but there's also the idea that the bringing of the korbanos is meant to bring an awareness of our interrelationship and need to respond to the world and to keep it moving, which relates to the idea of the korbanos that are kavuim, that is to say, the korban tamid, the korban musaf, and what's more, there is the nature of our concern for the tefillah, which is naturally related to the korban. Because remember that the tefillahs were metukanim as per the korbanos, and they are deeply interrelated. And Shlomo HaMelech calls the Beis HaMikdash the Beit Tefillah. And therefore, all around Yisrael, in the same way that, remember, the original Mishkan had its impact on the actual center of the Machaneh, but it extended immediately outwards in Parshas Noseh. It extends outwards throughout the entire Machaneh, so that we have the extension of the Beis HaMikdash into interrelations between man and wife, such as the Inyanim of Seita. And then we have extensions into the normal life, such as the din of a Nazir, who suddenly gets a halach of a Kain Gadol, and such as Birkas Kayanim, which takes place all over as an extension of the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash. These are quite remarkable ideas, and we're going to see how they develop in this perek, because the truth is that the nature of tefillah that we've been speaking about up until now, that goes back to the original creation, and that Adam Ayin Lavedes HaAdama, and all of the tiniest that are on the Gishamim, which relate back to that, so that the Mesechtas that we've been Isaac in Mesechet Sukkah, and Mesechet Rosh Hashanah, and Mesechet Ta'anit, all reflect different facets of this responsibility. We get to a new level here in which we understand that the ongoing nature, in that if it wouldn't be for the, as it says, the Ma'amadot, lo niskaymu shamayim va'aretz, if it wouldn't be for the Korbanes, so then there's no kiyum of Yerusha Sa'aretz. And therefore, that's when Avram Avinu asked, but Ma'eda, so the answer was, bring korbanos. That was the Egla Mishuleshes and so on and so forth, and the Remes to Bias HaMashiach with the Ayat, and all types of issues that have been with us throughout these Masechtas, all of a sudden come to a head over here, because we recognize that the responsibility for the maintenance of the presence of the Beis HaMikdash is tied to the presence of the Karbonas and the involvement of Yisrael in those Karbonas. And therefore, the Ma'amad is reflected not only on the Amida on the Karbonas, it's also reflected in special tefillahs that the Anshei Ma'amad would say the entire time, and therefore in Taniyot, so that to be a member of the Ma'amad was almost ipso facto to be engaged in the idea of Ta'anit and the tefillahs of the Ta'anit, including even the special tefillahs, which was the tefillahs Ne'ilah, and perhaps, according to the Rambam, a special additional tefillah that was instead of the mission, the Musaf, that was with the Ma'amadas every day. This is the way the Rambam understands the sugya. And in order that it extend throughout the Machaneh, the Ma'amadot did not only perform their jobs in Yerushalayim, and those jobs involved being actually oisek in the Karbanas, in a way. Obviously, they can't do what the Kohanim do. They can't do what the Leviim do. But they can bring water that was necessary in the Beis HaMikdash. They can bring wood that was necessary for the Beis HaMikdash. It was necessary for the Mizbeach. And they can be osik in everything that could possibly be done by Yisrael in terms of taking care for the Mishmar, as we're going to see later on. All of those things were part of what the Ma'amadot did. And therefore, they were there in every single city. There were Ma'amadot, and they would fast, and they would daven, and they would have their special tefillahs. And as we'll see, those tefillahs were responsive tefillahs as well. So if there were a need for things, though they would be as if there was a constant tanit going on in Yisrael that dealt with the human condition on an ongoing basis, which is precisely why the Inyan of the Ma'amadot is so related to the Rambam's understanding of the other tanios, which are the tanios of the Tzibur, which is precisely why this perek has not only the dinim of the Ma'amadot, but then goes back to talk about Tisha B'Av and Shivasa B'Tammuz and the Hanhogas of Bnei Yisrael, starting from Tu B'Av, going to Yom HaKippurim, and how all of that is interrelated with Yerushas Haaretz, Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and the presence of the Shechina in Yisrael. So this perek is like the climax of the of a Mesechet that has been leading up to this type of permanent situation. And because of that, we want to see here not only what the Ma'amadot are, what the responsibilities are, but how they relate to the nature of tefillah, to the special tefillahs, and to a special korban that we haven't met very much until now, which is, in fact, the korban that is shared throughout all of Yisrael, and it's called the korban Eitzim. And that korban Eitzim, which were given to special families, discuss their responsiveness at the time of Ezra, also became permanently implanted and embedded in the year of Klal Yisrael, became Yomim Tovim to those families, and are deeply related to the Ma'amadot themselves. So three brand new issues, Ma'amadot, Tadetaniot on the Beis HaMikdash, and the Korban Eitzim, all of which appear here in this parak, in an interrelated way. Because of that, the first Mishnah that we learn here actually includes all of the Mishnayos in the entire parak, which in your Mishnah is separated into eight different Mishnayos, at least, because there are so many different inyanim. We're going to go through the entire parak, that is to say, of the Mishnah today, and begin seeing how the Gemara understands it. Bishlosha prakim bashana kohanim nosim et kapihem arba pa'amim bayom. So what it seems to be saying is that there are three times in a year in which the Kohanim can actually say Birkat Kohanim four different times during the day. And this would be Shacharit, Musaf, Mincha, and Ni'ilah. Now that is not the halacha, as you know. We don't do that, and there's a reason that we don't do that, because it turns out that the Mishnah is going Aliba to Rabbi Meir, and we're going to find that it's a machlokas in the Gemara, many different ways of how we actually paskin, we end up paskining like Rabbi Yossi, and we do not do Arba Pa'amim Bayom. We'll see what we do and why it works out that way. But according to Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah, Shacharis, Musaf, Mincha, and Ne'ilah are the four times that we do. We don't do Birkas Kohanim in Ma'ariv, and therefore it's because, like all of the other things in the Beis HaMikdash, as we'll see, and therefore we only talk about these four tefillahs. And what are the three times? Shlosha Prakim. They are the Ta'aniyot, the Ma'amadot, and Yom HaKippurim. And of course, we know there's a strange relationship between the dinim of Yom Kippur and the dinim of Tisha B'Av and the Ta'aniyot and Chamurot, in which for different reasons, we end up having many, almost all, of the same halachas. So, let's talk about the Ma'amadot, says the Mishnah, because I haven't explained them yet, and now I'm making reference to them. Those are the three times, one of the three times, if you're a member of the Ma'amadot. What are these Ma'amadot, basically? Elohein Ma'amadot. Well, the fish in Emar Tzavet B'nei Yisrael et Korban Ilach Mili Yishai Tishmeru. And that means you have to actually take care of it yourself. V'chihech Korbanot Shel Adam Karev Ve'hu'en Omer Agabav. How is it possible that there's no reflection of the Shmira of Klal Yisrael over their Korban, and that they have no relationship to the Korban when it's being brought in the Beis HaMikdash? That makes no sense. And because of that, Hitkinu Nevi'im Rishonim Esrim V'arba'a Mishmarot. So therefore, the early Nevi'im, which we'll see as a reference to Shmuel, Hanavi, and David, and the Gemara will discuss the whole story, so they made the 24 Mishmorais, which began with Kohanim and Levim into 24 separate, changing one week at a time group, and again, adding to that, Al Kol Mishmar U Mishmar, so not only was there the Mishmar, but there was also a Ma'amad in Yerushalayim, such that we had Ma'amadot of Kohanim, Levi'im, and Yisraelim. Now, according to most, what this is referring to is, we're putting together the Mishmarot HaKuna, the Mishmarot HaLeviyah, and the Ma'amad of Yisrael, and we're calling them all Ma'amadot, so that way everyone is Omed on the Karma. However, there are some Rishonim that learn that it's talking about all of them being involved in the Ma'amad, and not that this is a reference to the combination of Ma'amad plus Mishmar HaKuna plus Mishmar HaLeviyah. So this is a big machlokas. And we can read the Rashi, the way Rashi does, which means that actually, but Parshas is that Kohanim and Levim also participated along with Yisraelim, so that the Maimed would have all three. But as I say, many Rishonim argue on this. Higia Zman HaMishmar La'alot. So when it was time for that week, and this week would come twice a year, Higia Zman HaMishmar La'alot, the Kohanim and the Levim, Olim to Yerushalayim only, because there was no Mishmar of Kohanim and Levim outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but Yisrael, who are not in Yerushalayim, not all of them would come to Yerushalayim, even the Oto Ma'amad, so the locals who weren't normally to be found in Yerushalayim, they would be Mitkansim La'orehem, they would get together in their own towns, wherever that town was, and that became a special ma'amad in the town that everybody would see, in which they would have their special tefillas, and they would have their tanyos, and some even learned that they would go outside to the Rechov HaShalir during their turn on the ma'amad, so that it was similar to the way in which people would see the tanyos tzibor for the gishomim. They would see these people outside. This is not the way we paskin l'maisa. And the Yisrael, they would korim wherever they were, they would korim b'maaseh bereshit, particularly. And this is because, as we introduced, the concept of the karbonas and the concept of the ma'amados all relate back to maaseh bereshit and the place of humanity within the ongoing process of the development of creation. And because of that, we split up the kriya of maaseh bereshit through these days of the Ma'amad, and every day they would choose another piece of Maaseh Bereshit, and we'll see how it was split up. Now, this next piece is a little bit strange. The Rambam has it in the actual Pirush HaMishnayos, and it doesn't show up in the Yerushalmi at all, which is why apparently it was put into these parentheses, but we'll read it. As the Rambam has it, Ve'anshei Ma'amad hayu mit'anim arba'a yamim b'shavua, they would fast from Monday through Thursday. So this is a whole different idea of Monday and Thursday of the earlier Taniyos. Here we're talking about Taniyos from Monday through Thursday, the entire week. We'll see why they would not fast on other days. They wouldn't fast Erev Shabbos, and that was because of the Kavod HaShabbos, so that it's not correct to start your Shabbos, as we saw, when you're in a state of being me'uneh, and not be'echad b'Shabbos, k'day shelo yetzu mimenucha v'oneg ligia v'ta'anit v'yamutu. Yamutu doesn't mean literally that they'll drop dead, but it means it makes you feel, when a person says, oh yeah, I feel dead, that's exactly what it means. So on Sunday, to suddenly go from the joy of Shabbos and the pleasures of Shabbos, it's bad enough that we lose the neshama yesera, but that's also enough of a smack in the face, but to actually stop eating completely. Remember, the Shemini Seder is also about food. So that we don't do. What is the Kriya Satira of the Ma'amad? So we've got a bit of a problem. The bit of a problem is that if we want to split up Maaseh Bereshit among every day of the week to the Ma'amadot, and a Kriya Satira, according to the original Takana, has to be at least three people, in which each one reached three psukim. The problem is that the separate parshiyot of Maaseh Bereshit are very short, and they don't have nine psukim. So we had to do a doubling up. But if we could do a doubling up, we've got too many parshiyos, and that we read earlier, and then we run out of parshiyos. And therefore, we did with the parshiyos very much what we do on Rosh Chodesh, where sometimes we have to go back, so there'll be enough excerpts for other people, and we'll reread one piece. Well, that's what we did. We did it bediluk. So Biyom HaRishon, we read the Parsha of Bereshis Bar Elokim, and then the next Parsha, which is Yehi Rakia. Now that way, we would get a total of the at least the 9 psukim, and we'll see that there was always one Parsha that did not have the requisite number of psukim to split into 2, even into 2, and there we would have to move Dalei. And one Parsha could be used for one person, so it was very short, and the longer Parsha, we would do the Diluk. So the way that it worked out is that on the first day of the week, so you would read the first 2 Parshas. We're going to talk about how we split them in a moment. On Shiyom HaSheni, we then repeated Yehi Rakia, but we went on to Yikavu HaMayim. And then on the third day, we repeated Yikavu HaMayim, and then went on to Yehi Me'orot. And then on the next day, on the fourth day, we went from the Yehi Me'orot, and then we repeated, and then we went up to Yishritzu HaMayim. And then on the fifth day, we redid Yishritzu HaMayim, and we added Totzei HaAretz. And then what we did was, Totzei HaAretz and Vayichulu HaShamayim on Erev Shabbos, repeating Vatotzei HaAretz. How did we split them into how many people? So you'll notice that each one has one longer and one shorter. And then we do the one shorter and one longer. And then we do one longer and one shorter. So the Parsha Gedolah, the longer one, was the one that we read with 2 people, and the shorter one was the one that we would give to one person. So in other words, if we had Parshat Bereshit, which is 5 psukim, so that we would give to 2 people, and we would have to repeat, like we do on Rosh Chodesh, one of the psukim, and then we have only 3 psukim in Yehi Rakia, so that would be given to one person. And then we would do it the other way around. The Yehi Rakia would be the first one, which is 3 psukim, which is good for only one person, but then the next parsha could be split into 2 people, and so on and so forth. So, b'shacharit u'b'musaf. That's what we did during shacharis and musaf. This is the way the Gemara says we end up reading the Mishnah. But when it comes to mincha, we would go as the ma'amad into the Beit HaKnesset, but we didn't take out a Sefer Torah. Instead, they would say over, like as if it were a Kriyat Shema, each individual would say over these psukim kakori nechma. Erev Shabbos, during the mincha, we did not go into the Beit HaKnesset at all because we wanted people to have time to prepare for Shabbos and to get ready, and it's because of that we let them off. Now, there are certain times where we cannot do the ma'amad with this level of tefillah and so on. When is that? Well, let's say during Chanukah. On Chanukah, you have Hallel, and that Hallel is that special takana, not like Rosh Chodesh, where we don't have such a takana, where it's only a minute, and therefore we don't say the whole Hallel. But we have an interesting situation, because we have Hallel without a Musaf, almost the entire Chanukah, except for the Yomim of Rosh Chodesh. That's the only time that we have something like this, to have a Hallel without a Musaf. And that's why the Mishnah has to relate to what happens when there is a Hallel and only a Hallel. So then what we do is the time of the Shachris was taken up by the extra Aveda of the Hallel. And so we put off the Ma'amad that day with the special tefillas of the Ma'amad so that the Anshei Ma'amad were able to say the Hallel. And that Hallel was very choshev, and it was a special takana, and therefore it came first. Now, there's a machlokas over here about exactly what are we talking about. Are we talking about Anshei Ma'amad all over the country? We're talking about the Anshei Ma'amad who were bedavka in Yerushalayim. We're going to go through some of the shitas in a moment, but first, let's take a look at other special days that changed the status of the Ma'amad versus the tefillah. Let's say it's a yom sheyesh bo korban musaf. So if there's also a korban musaf, then there's no ma'amad even during the shas of ne'ilah. Now, there's certainly halal that would be there, and we have all of the work that needs to be done extra because of the musaf, because normally the korban tamid is very simple. Korban tamid is one keves, basically, in the morning, one keves in the afternoon. But when you're talking about adding a musaf, I mean, those musafim, they're a minimum of another two korbanos. That's on Shabbos. But, I mean, there are very often a lot of separate animals that are being brought. And because of that, since there's a lot of duties that are taken up by the Anshei Ma'amad in taking care of these korbanos, including bringing the wood, bringing any water that we need to wash off the kravayim of these korbanos and so on. That was all that could be done by Yisrael, and they were overjoyed to have the opportunity to have some role in the bringing of the korban. So because of that, they couldn't do the special korbanos of the ma'amad, the special tefillas of the ma'amad, because they were busy with the actual korban. And remember, that was the main focus, was to be omed on the korban, and the tefillas that we were adding was the extension of the concept of tefillas into the overall nature of our awareness, of our responsibilities, and our connecting to the Shekhinah. But if they had no time for the extra tefillas, because they were oisik in the korbanos, so that was more choshev. And therefore, there was no ne'ila either on that day. Certainly, there wasn't a musaf because they were busy with the actual musaf, but there was so much to be done that they couldn't even be nichmas to me'ila. At least we'll see that this is true, Aliba Rabbi Akiva. In the end, this is not the way we're going to paskin. If it was a day on which there's a korban eitzim, whoops, now we've introduced a whole new idea, which I mentioned to you earlier, and the Mishnah is going to expand on this in a moment. What the heck is a korban eitzim? But if it were a din of korban eitzim, so then there was no ma'amad at mincha, divrei Rabbi Akiva, because the korban eitzim, we're going to see that there were the special mishpachas that were selected to have the schus, the deres, because of the way that they responded at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. So they would bring a special korban. Some learn the korban is the wood itself, which is the pashtus. There are others who say that the korban eitzim refers to the korban eila that they would bring together with the korban eitzim. That's not the pashtus of the sugya all over. But anyway, the korban eitzim was brought before mincha, and because of that, they were busy, and they couldn't do the maimed at mincha. But there would be no problem in doing ne'ila on that day. So the time is Rabbi Akiva. Amarlo ben Aze, well, that's not the way that I learned from Rabbi Yeshua. I learned from Rabbi Yeshua, kachaya Rabbi Yeshua shone, that if it's a day that has a korban musaf, so then ne'ila still is okay because they're finished by the time ne'ila comes around. So then it's true that they're very, very busy all the way from musaf through mincha. Okay, so fine. They had to go from one carbon, go directly to the carbon of the Tamid Shabbin Arbaim, so they didn't have the whole tefillah and the special saying over my Sebrachus Balpeh, so on and so forth. That they did not have on a day where there was a musaf, but they definitely did go back for ne'ila. Carbon eitzim ain't been ne'ila. Then, if there was a carbon eitzim, so then indeed there was a mincha, because actually, okay, the Gemara will get into this, why specifically, even though we're bringing it before mincha, why it wasn't deicha mincha's tefillah. And there is, however, letting them off for the maimed tefillah at ne'ila, because they're a little bit behind and they're going to have to do all of the things that are necessary. And Rabbi Akiva heard that from Ben Hazai about the way it is that Rabbi Yoshua learned. He was Chozer Rabbi Akiva, Liot Shonek Ben Azai, and he ended up agreeing that we should do it the way Ben Azai said that we should do it. So now there's, the question is, before we get into all of that, to explain exactly what the Atse Kohanim and so on was, we have to take a look at the various, just for a moment, at the various shitas that talk about how, even though we spoke about there being, we start off actually that there were four times, and that mizmashba that we had each and every one of these, including the Karban Musaf, we had these special tefillas, and that was the times that the Kohanim were saying four times a day, Aliba Rabbi Meir, they were saying the special Birkas Kohanim, and then suddenly it turns out that actually no, if there is a Musaf, then we don't go into the special tefillas. So what exactly is going on between the two steps of the Mishnah? So, I mean, the first Mishnah, one way of understanding it, is that the first Mishnah, as we mentioned, was talking about the mamad all over, where they didn't have the duty of the actual working in the Beis HaMikdash. They were just in their local shul. So anything that was taking place that was going to put off the mamad because of the avodas hakorbanos in the Beis HaMikdash wouldn't apply to them. So that there are basically two different levels in the Mishnah. One of them is discussing the tefillas that are unaffected by korbanos or anything else, and therefore they are not what we're referring to when we suddenly say, but if there's a korban musaf, then we're going to have to cancel the ma'amad. We will only cancel the ma'amad for the people that are in Yerushalayim. So therefore they would say tefillas, the tefila at the time of musaf, they would add the ma'isa bereishis if they were outside of Yerushalayim, and so on. Now, there's a machlokus whether that's true even about halal, and that we don't let them off because of halal either, which is basically Rashi Shita. Mashenke and others learn, and that, as we mentioned earlier, that was mainly the Ritva. So others learn that if it's a halal, why should there be any difference between Yerushalayim and anywhere else? It doesn't make any sense. We have to give everybody the opportunity to be at halal, and because of that, we don't have the extra tefillas. So that is exactly the same. It's just about the korban musaf. Yes, there's a difference between Yerushalayim, where you're busy bringing the musaf, so to speak, or doing what you can to help with the musaf. And that would be a shita that is mechalek between halal, Lagabi, the outside of Yerushalayim, and the Musafim. Whereas others, Taina, that the idea over here is Davka, the special tefillas, and not the Kriya. So that the Kriya would still take place. Because when the Gemara says later on that if it wouldn't be for the Ma'amadot, then the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't go on with Ma'aseh Bereishis, we have to always have those Kriyas. So these, some of the other Rishonim, particularly the Ravid, learns that way, that we should not confuse the tefillas of the Ma'amadis with the kriyas of the Ma'amadis. And then we have the very special way that the Rambam understands the whole sugya, and he learns that the concept of musaf has two different meanings. There was a different tefillah that was metukanet only for the Ma'amadis, which was an additional tefillah, but it wasn't the korban musaf. So that when we refer to the extra tefillah that they daven, there would always be that extra tefillah, according to the Rambam, and they would add it between Shacharis and Mincha, and that was only a tefillah for Ma'amadot. And that was the Kriyas HaTorah that it's referring to, that we added to musaf as well. Okay, so that's a unique sheet. So now the Mishnah wants to tell us, what did I mean when I spoke about the Atzei, the Korban Eitzim? What are the Korban Eitzim that we made a reference to? So these are the Zman Atzei Kayanim V'Am Tisha, the nine times of the year when we have a special Korban Eitzim. What happened is that when we came back from Golas Bavel, there was, as you recall, a desperate situation. We were barely managing to continue doing the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash. We weren't allowed to be doing a binyan of Yerushalayim. There was a constant sitna that was being written to prevent us from finishing, and there was no wood for Ezra and Nehemiah to bring up the korbanas, and everything, remember, was a churban. It was very difficult to find wood. So there were special mishpachas that came and said that they would take the responsibility of whatever it takes to get wood, no matter how far they're going to have to travel, they are going to get that wood. And they kept that day as a yontiv, which became a sukkah in as part of my Megillas Tainias. And because of that, they gave them the schus that every single year, even if there's tons of wood, that these families bring that wood and that it's brought specially for them on that day that they're makariv. So these were the 9 days. On the first day of Nisan, that was the first korban, and it was given by the family of Arach ben Yehuda. Now, the Gemara later on is going to give us more details about these families, but these are names that are mentioned in Ezra Nehemiah. And that first massive donation lasted all the way from Nisan through Tammuz. Be'esrim b'Tammuz came another family from Yehuda, and that was the family of David HaMelech. as the Gemara will tell us, that this is not just Stam David, this is the family of David HaMelech, and it's Bnei David Ben Yehuda, and they were the ones who then were given that schus. Then that lasted until Chamisha Ba'av. Now, once Av came around, remember, as we're going to see later on again, to remind you that the last time that you're able to take wood for the Mizbeach is only up to Tu Ba'av. Afterwards, the wood is no longer going to dry properly, and we don't allow improperly dried wood to be on the Mizbeach because it smokes and so on. And so we then had a rapid fire opportunity for people to bring wood during Av that would last until later. And if they were going to be later, then they would have to cut the wood earlier, obviously, and keep it drying. And that would be on the fifth day of Av is when we started. And that was another family, which was Parosh, was also from Yehuda. On the seventh of Av, that was the family of Yonadav ben Rechav, who, of course, were Gerim. And therefore, we don't mention which Shevet they're from. Yonadav ben Rechav, as you'll recall, are the famous descendants of Yisro. And they were the ones who were zeichet to learn with Osniel ben Knaz, and they were the ones that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses as a siman to Klal Yisrael. Why can't you be like Yonadav ben Rechav and have the loyalty of the family of Yonadav ben Rechav, and so on. On the 10th of Av, that was the family of Sina'a from Shevet Binyamin. And on the 15th of Av, it was the turn of Bnei Zatu ben Yehuda. Now, Bnei Zatu ben Yehuda, that was a family from Yehuda that included many types of fascinating people and fascinating historical moments that we're going to be talking about later. So anybody who was certain that he was, they have a Kabbalah, I know that my family used to be Makriv Korban Etzim, but I don't know what family it was. So they lost track of their Yichus. They would join with this Bnei Zatu, as did the ones who are the Bnei Gonvei Eli, Ubnei Kotzei Kitziot. We'll see the fascinating stories of what the big schutz was for the people who were smuggling out the pestles. And they pretended that things were other things because the government had been geyser against bringing wood to the Mizbeach or bringing Bikurim, as the case may be, as we're going to see the stories later on. And the ones who were claiming that they were just cutting down some figs. On the 20th of Av, that was Bnei Pachat Moav ben Yehuda, which we'll be talking about in the Gemara. And at the 20th of Elul, that was from Shevet Yehuda, Bnei Adin. And then in Teves, they didn't have another family. And Bnei Parosh, they were the ones who were Zoche to take a second turn. So they're the only ones who actually have two Korbanot Eitzim. So now, once this is true, now you understand that that would mean that on the first day of Teves, which is always Chanukah and is always Rosh Chodesh, pow, you don't have any tefillahs for the Ma'amad at all, because then you have both the halal of Chanukah. Well, wouldn't you always have halal on Rosh Chodesh? Absolutely not. The only Rosh Chodesh you have halal on is Chanukah. The other halal that we say on Chanukah, on Rosh Chodesh, is only a minig, which is why we bedafka make the change to make it only what we call the chatzi halal, and why, according to the Rambam and according to many, many minhagim, including my own, we don't say a bracha on the halal. There's no bracha on a minig, as the Rambam points out, and therefore there's no bracha on a chatzi halal. And because of that, it's the only time that we have all the things that knock out the Ma'amadot, because you have Halal, which knocks out Shachris, and you have Musaf, and you have the Korban Etzim, so you've knocked out Mincha, and you've knocked out Ne'ilah, and so you have nothing. So you'll only be Isaac in the Korbanos, but you won't have an opportunity to say those special tefillahs that we like to say during the Ma'amadot. Now, we come to, as the Rambam pointed out, the universal human condition and the development of Klal Yisrael historically Ta'aniot. And those are fundamentally different than any other Ta'anit, even though they may look the same as the Ta'anit on the Geshomim of the Korban, the Ta'anit Tzibur. They have a different purpose and were meant to have a different historical perspective because of them. And that is Chamisha Dvarim, Iru et Avotenu B'Shiv'a Asar B'Tamuz, V'Chamisha Dvarim, B'tish Aba'av. What were the five things that happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz? So, as we know, B'Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, that was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was Shover Et Haluchot. So that was the beginning, basically, of the return to mortality and all of the things that went wrong afterwards. And that happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. And then came the Bittul of the Tamid, happened on a different Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Which Bittul HaTamid are we talking about? So the Rambam says, we're talking about the Bittul of the Tamid, that Bavel prevented us from bringing the Korban Tamid, which obviously means that this took place during the Beis HaMikdash HaRishon, which actually is the mashmos of the sugya elsewhere. In the Gemara in Yerushalmi, it talks about the question of whether this was during Yavan or whether this was during the Chashmonaim, during the battle of the brothers of the Chashmonaim with each other, which is a horrible story of sending up a chazir instead of sending up the Tamid, which is a heartbreaking story. And the way that I understand it, I don't know why I haven't seen anybody say this, but the way that I understand it is the Dover Parshat, that any breaking of the Retzef of the Korban Tamid had its sheresh in the same day, in the same way that the two Batei Migdash were destroyed because of the mazel of that. I shouldn't say mazel, but because it was a day that was meyuchad for Peraniyot. So it became a day of Peraniyot for Doiras. So whether it was the issue of the Lashon Hara in the Midbar, the Churban Bayis Rishon, the Churban Bayis Sheni, it all relates to the same time. So too are the Inyanim of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz miyuchad as a kayach of the mayed of that day. And because of that, you'll find many times that the Tamid was nifsak. So we have three different stories. All those three stories are called the idea of Batal HaTamid. V'huvke ha'ir, we had the Beis HaMikdash. This was the Beis HaMikdash HaSheni that we're talking about, because the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, we'll see, was not on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, even though it was also B'Tammuz, Shiva B'Tammuz, which we'll talk about. And and Sorof Apostomas et HaTorah. So Apostomas was the Yavani, in which many learned that the Inyan of Yer was the Torah, meaning the Sefer Torah that had been written by Ezra, which was an incalculable tragedy, in which we had the Sefer Torah that could be counted on by Ezra Sefer, so that we would be Bekiyim and Chaserais V'Yeserais, and all our Sefer Torah would be checked against that, so we could know that we had a Sefer Torah with all of the Psuchas and Stumas correctly, and all of the Chaserais V'Yeserais correctly. And God help us, when that was destroyed, we no longer have an absolute clarity over what constitutes a correct Sefer Torah, an incorrect Sefer Torah. Of course, we have the famous story of the Keter that was supposedly was checked against it and survived until very recently. And that was the Aram Tzova, which it's called. Okay. But anyway, that was a horrible tragedy. So similar, it's the Sefer of Ezra, not just the Sefer of the Azora. And Hu Amad, some have the Girsa, and some have He'emid, Tzelem Be'echel. That's exactly the same thing. So if Apostomus was Seref the Torah, so then if it says He'emid, he also put a Tzelem in the Echel. The Girsa that says Hu Amud Tzelem Be'echel, which actually is Rashi's Girsa, is a reference to Menashe, which is coming back to the Bayis Rishon. And again, the fact that there should be two such occurrences at the same time is a getter of the Mayad of the time. On Tisha B'Av, we have the tragedies of the Gezer al Avisenu Shal Yekonsul Eretz Yisrael in the Midbar. We have the Churban Bayis Rishon. We have the Churban Bayis Sheni. And then we have the horrible story, which was, the Gemara says, was the equivalent of the Churban Bayis of Nilkada Beitar, in which hundreds of thousands of people were killed by the Romans. And as the Rambam says, that was the hope that everyone had, and Ben Kuziva, that he was Mashiach, and Rabbi Akiva believed he was Mashiach, and there was no greater heartbreak than seeing that collapse, in which, like, now everything is over, and that just brought complete despair. So that Nilkata Beitar, says the Rambam, that was Gadol, like the Beis HaMikdash, the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and then the entire ear of Yerushalayim was Nechrisha, was also, that was by Tunis Rofus, where the Arabayas and the Chelek of Yerushalayim was literally, I mean, the viciousness of this people that you still see in the United Nations, if they would have had their opportunity to go ahead now and plow under Yerushalayim, what a pleasure they would have. So this is what happened there in Nechush HaIr. And because of that, we also have chumras in the entire month that leads up to Tisha B'Av. And Misha Nichnas Av Mema'atim B'Simcha, and we'll see what those dinim are, but we don't get married, and we limit the binyan shel simcha, netiyah shel simcha, and so on. And during the actual week, shechal bo Tisha B'Av, so then this is the Yikra, then of course the Ashkenazim have been machmer on this for 3 weeks, Svarim are machmer on some of the inyanim from the beginning of Av. So Shabbat shechal Tisha B'Av liot betocha, you're not allowed to take a haircut, and you're not allowed to do laundry. However, if Tisha B'Av comes out on a Erev Shabbos, so then on the Thursday, Erev Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to take a haircut and you're allowed to do laundry, because otherwise you're going to go into Shabbos looking like a mess. On this, of course, we don't do, but this again is Mi'ikra Din. It's so surprisingly different from the way that the Minhagim have become so much more Machmer. Erev Tisha B'Av, Lo Yochal Adam Shnei Tafshilim, you're not allowed to eat two separate cooked foods, because you're supposed to be basically like an avel, so you're not allowed to even have the two foods like basar with the beitzim on the basar. That's called two tafshilin. You're not allowed to eat meat. You're not allowed to drink wine. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says you are, but you just have to make a shinui. So if you would usually drink two cups of wine, you can only drink one cup of wine, and so on. So you're memayit. Reb Yehuda is also mechayev on Tisha B'Av bekviat amita, which means you're not allowed to sleep on a bed, you have to sleep on the floor, like an avel. So he extends the dinim of avelas, pure avelas, to Tisha B'Av. V'lo hodu lo chachamim, that they weren't taking on that chumra. Omer Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Now let's talk about the relationship of all of this to the binyan Beis HaMikdash to come, and to the sense of joy at the fulfillment of our responsibilities. Lo hayu yamim tovim liYisrael kechamisha asar ba'av uchayom haKippurim. There was no happier times like those 2 days. And what we used to do was behem benot Yerushalayim yotzot b'klei lavan she'ulim she'ol vayeshet misha einlo. No one would wear their own clothing, so that the people who were rich, who could afford their own clothes, wouldn't be mevayesh those who could not afford their own clothes. Everyone wore borrowed clothes. And we'll see what they would do in a moment, but they would have to actually make sure that all of the clothes were tahor, and they would have to go and put all clothes in a mikvah. Again, so there shouldn't be a distinction between different people. Some people are tamei, some people are tahor. We assumed everybody's tamei, let's clean the clothes. Ubenot Yerushalayim, or Benot Yisrael, some of the girsa, or Yotzot v'cholot v'akramim, they would go out and dance through the vineyards. We're going to see how much this has to do with the story of Pelegish Begiva, and the way in which the dancing in Kramim b'chlal was nogea, or the mixing of the Shvatim, which has so much to do with the story of Yiftach. All of these things we'll go through in the Gemara. Uma hayu omrot, what would they say to the boys who were unmarried? They would say, Bachur, time to look at the girls. Sona einecha. After all, today's Yom Kippur. When else are you going to look at the girls? Amazing. So, sona einecha, lift up your eyes, but pay attention to the truth. Re'ei ma'ata borer lach. See what it is that you're going to be picking out for yourself. Al titein einecha banoi. Don't just look the beauty. Tein einecha l'mishpacha. Sheker achein vehevel hayofi. We're going to see in the Gemara that there's actually 3 different types of remuzim over here, so that if the mishpacha of the girl was good, but she wasn't very pretty, so that's when she would say, Shekrachim Evelayofi, obviously. But the pretty girls, they said, no, look at the girls and choose the girls, because Enisha Elelayofi, and the other ones who had neither, so they would say, Isha Yirat Hashem, Iti Talal. So we're going to see all of this in the Gemara, but there's more to the Pesukim that are quoted than you might notice. It's not just one Divrei Musar, it's actually different Madrigas that we're talking about. V'omre Tenula Mipri Hadea V'Yalalua Bashari Maaseah, which we're going to see means give her jewelry also, which is the Tenula. And you can make her pretty if you spend enough money. So all of that's going to appear in the Gemara. V'cheinu Omer Tse'eno Re'eno Benot Zion. So on the surface, this is relating to the girls and their dancing and the beautiful times. But the deepest expression here is of the love between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the way that all of these ma'amadot and all of these sensitivities to karbonos and to tefillas and to the breakdown of the Hashras HaShchina is part of a love story that develops over all of these centuries. So Tzen Orena Benot Zion Ba'melach Shalomo Ba'atarash Yitaralo Imo Biyom Chatunato Uviyom Simchat Libo. What does this mean, says Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel? So Melach Shalomo refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Melach Shalom Shalom, and the Imo, as the Zohar points out, based on this one, that's a reference to Knesset Yisrael, and this was the time in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wedded us. Biyom Chatunato, that's the day of Matan Torah, which is a reference for us to the Luch HaShniyim, as Rashi points out, which is Yom HaKippurim. Ubiyom Simchat Libo Ze Binyan Beit HaMikdash Sheibaneh B'mehera B'yameinu, and that Binyan Beit HaMikdash is a reference, according to Rashi, as well to Yom HaKippurim, but that was the beginning of the Chinuch, remember of Shlomo HaMelech, Shivat Yamim v'Shivat Yamim. But Lamaisa, the Gemara is going to show that the Chamisha Asar Ba'av has many, many inyanim that are related to the Knisa La'aretz and to the fixing of all the things that went wrong, and ultimately to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash b'mehera v'yameinu. Amen. And the Gemara says, you say in the Mishnah that b'shlosha prakim b'shana kohanim nos'im et kapehem arba pamim b'yom. And you're telling me there's four tefillas in that day, which is Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, Ne'ilah. And you say that those three times are the Taniyot, the Ma'amadot, and Yom Kippur. What the heck? There's no Musaf on Taniyot. There's no Musaf on Ma'amadot. So why are you saying that there are three times a day where we have four times a day of the Kohanim saying Birkas Kohanim? There's no Tefillas Musaf. Well, yes. Chesuri Mechaser. The Mishnah is missing a little bit over here. What it should say is Bishlosha Prakim Kohanim Nosim Et Kapehem, not four times a day, but put in the word Kol Zman Shemit Palalim. Wherever there is a Tefillah, that's Rabbi Meir Shita. Wherever there is a Tefillah, no matter how many there are, as long as it's daytime, the Kohanim say Birkas Kohanim. Now, this is Yesh Mayim. Okay, now go back to the Lashon of the Mishnah. Arba Pamim Bayom. There are times where this could even be four times a day, referring to Yom Kippur, where you have also Tvilas Ni'ilah and also Tvilas Musaf. And that would be Shachris, Musaf, Minchan, and Ilah Sha'arim. And what are the occasions that we're referring to over here? The Shlosha Prakim, when every single time that there is a Tvilah, that the Kohanim will be Nosik HaPehem, which we'll see Alibra Rabbi Meir in a moment. That is the Taniyot, the Ma'amadot, and the Yom HaKippurim. But, as Rav Nachman Omer Rav Avura points out, that's true, but only Alibra Rabbi Meir. Mashenken, the Chachomim say, no. During Shachris and Musaf, yes. Then we do Birkat Kohanim. But for Mincha and Ne'ilah, there is no Birkat Kohanim. Ein bem nesiat kapayim. And whose shita is that, as the Gemara man chachomim? Rebbe Yehudahi. The Tanya. Shacharit, Musaf, Mincha, Ni'ilah. Every one of those tefillas has Birkas Kohanim. Divrei Rebbe Meir. Whereas Rebbe Yehuda says, no. Shachris u Musaf, yesh bem nesiyos kapayim. Mincha ve Ni'ilah, there's no nesiyos kapayim. Whereas Rebbe Yossi, according to whom we are noyeg, and according to whom we have Birkas Kohanim, Ni'ilah yesh ba nesiat kapayim. Mincha is the only time when there's no siki nesiat kapayim. And there's a very simple explanation to the argument. Rabbi Meir Savar, look, why do we not normally have nesiat kapayim in Mincha? Why wouldn't we? It's an opportunity for the Kohanim to be Mevarachas Yisrael. There's only reason, one reason. Ko yuma taima mailo parse kani yadayu b'minchosa. Because we're afraid that they're going to be eating in the day, and the norm was to have a glass of wine with your food, so it'll be shichrus. And as we're going to see later, shichrus is absolutely usur for birkas kohanim. But ha'idna, nowadays, leka shichrus. Because nowadays is Yom Kippur, or nowadays is the Ma'amadas, or nowadays is a fast day. So they're certainly going to have a rough time getting drunk on a fast day, so why not? We should have Birkas Kohanim. No reason not to. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, well, I mean, we have to establish norms, don't we? I mean, otherwise people are going to get very confused. Sure, chakras and musaf, where every day we don't have to worry about shikrut because it's before davening and people don't eat. So over there, there was no gezeira. Lo gazrubahu rabbanan. But all I can tell you is it's a miracle that they don't have birkas kohanim in chutz la'aretz, because all of the kohanim would be dead drunk in the way they make the kiddushim over there before musaf, specifically with single malted scotch. I mean, that's the mitzvah gedela, and whoever could spend more money on the scotch is the bigger tzaddik, and therefore they would not be able to have any birkas kohanim. So they don't have to worry about it because they've given up on birkas kohanim anyway, the reason being that they're so miserable, and you need happiness for the birkas kohanim. So the only way you can get some happiness is by burying your troubles in a bottle of scotch. Anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda says, therefore, shachris and musaf, which is the norm, where there's no shachris, there's no gezera, but mincha b'ne'ilah. I understand that today there's not going to be any shachris, but during this time of the day, normally, in a normal day, the chol yom ashchicha shachris, because of that, the rabbanim were gezer. So there shouldn't be ever birkas kohanim. Whereas Rabbi Yossi said, wait, what do you mean during this time? There's never ne'ilah. What are you talking about? So how are people going to get confused between ne'ilah? I understand mincha. There is a mincha every day. So Rabbanu were geyser for mincha, geyser be Rabbanu. But ne'ilah, which doesn't take place every day, it's only on these special days, the Rabbanu were never geyser, because the only time that there is ne'ilah is always on a fast day. Whether it's the Ma'amadeh's fast, whether it's the Tainas Tzibur fast, it's always a fast day. And therefore, what would be the point of being geyser? Because what people get confused, I think it's an afternoon prayer, and an afternoon prayer is the same as mincha. That I don't believe. We were discussing the machlokas between the different shitas about whether we would be going like Rabbi Meir, who says that on the days where we have ta'aniyot, so we do the birkas kohanim on every single tefillah, or whether we paskin that we only do shachris and musaf, or whether we go aliba de Rabbi Yossi, that actually we do shachris, musaf, and we add also ne'ilah. And we explained even the way in which the whole issue revolves around. The problem is shichrut. There's no heter to do a birkas kohanim in a state of shichrut. And therefore, after the time in which we finish the tefillot in the morning, we usually have to worry about shichrut. But on a tainis, there's no problem because people don't eat. So bepashtus, because of that, says Rabbi Meir, what's the problem? So mincha and ne'ilah also, there's no issue of shichrut on a tainis. Whereas, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we said, now wait a minute, you have to make a gezera because people will get confused. We only allow it in shachris and musaf because otherwise they'll think that other tefillahs on a normal day, maybe you can do birkas kohanim. And Rabbi Yossi says, mincha, it makes sense to get confused because every day has a mincha, but ne'ilah, the only time that you have a ne'ilah is yimei taniyot, and therefore there's no reason to make a gezera. Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, halacha k'Rabbi Meir, and we do it on all four, like the Mishnah says. Rabbi Yochanan says, well, now let's not go so far as to say it's a halacha, because actually it's not a halacha, but it's true that people are doing it that way, and that, in fact, nagu ha'am, people are noyeg to do like Rabbi Meir. Rava says, no, it's not that people are noyeg, it's that the minhag is like Rabbi Meir. So what are the difference between these lashonos? Look, if you say halacha is like Rabbi Meir, so then that means darshin and la bepirkin. Means that you want everybody to know that that's absolutely the halacha, and this is the way everybody has to act. And so memela, when it's time for the drosha and Shabbos to tell them over how we're going to be acting, you tell them this halacha. Masha inken, if you say it's a minhag, so then if people come over to you and say, what are we supposed to do? You tell them, listen, this is the minhag. I can't tell you that we know 100% that that's the halacha. Lamaisa tzimach locus, but this is the way people do it, and it certainly makes sense to follow Rabbi Meir. So that would mean midrash lo darshina. We don't announce it in the shir for everybody, but uruye murina. We certainly are meira halacha that if people come and ask privately, listen, that's the minute. Masha enkein, if you say the lashon nahagu, it's not mashmei is the minhag. It's that people decided that this is the way they're going to do it. It's almost as if you're saying, well, they don't have any basis for that decision, and I'm not telling you it's the right minhag. I'm just telling you the way people do it. And if that's the case, it means that we don't see that as halachically meaningful, except for the issue of if, in that case, people would do it, then we wouldn't protest, because you can't tell people not to do what everybody's doing. So mandi omar nahagu uruya lo marina, we won't even tell people, listen, that's the minhag, it's not the minhag. But ovid, if a kohen will go up and will act that way, lo madrina, we won't push him down. Reb Nachman says, all of you are wrong. Actually, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that we will do birkas kohanim in the ila, and we will not do birkas kohanim in mincha. And in fact, says the Gemara, that's true. Halacha Rabbi Yossi, that's how we paskin. But how do you explain the fact that that's not the way we act? It's how we paskin. But I can tell you that on every tainis, when it comes mincha, right before the end of the tainis, the kohanim do birkat kohanim. So how come? If you're telling me halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, so ha'idna my time aparse kohani yadayu b'minchata de ta'anita. Ah, that's because kivan the besomach l'shkiyata chama kaparse. So since the way that it turned out that people started making mincha is that on a tainis they make the mincha at the very end of the day, that became the normal minhag. And since it's at the very end of the day, so for all intents and purposes, it's like a ne'ilah, because that's not the time that people normally daven mincha. They used to daven mincha normally, mincha gedela. And therefore, it would be the same logic that Rabbi Yossi used to be matir ne'ilah, we should be able to use to be matir mincha. And therefore, people actually end up saying birkat kohanim if the mincha is late. So that's why we do it that way. So it's ketfilas ne'ilah damya, and that's the issue. Just to point out to you, this has been raised by many of the later, latest in the contemporary poskim, that since neither of those facts are true any longer, and it's first of all, many people daven earlier on the tainis, and they still go ahead and they say birkas kohanim. And there's also plenty of people that daven very late every day. And there's no longer this clear distinction between mincha on a normal day and mincha on a tainis, so maybe it should actually be usur to say birkas kohanim. Okay, there's a lot of discussion about this. Lamaisa, the proper way, according to most of the poskim, is that indeed, if the mincha is early on the tainis, not to say birkas kohanim, but that we can rely on saying the birkas kohanim when the mincha is very late. There's all kinds of explanations of why it works out that way. But anyway, that seems to be the halacha. There's a machlokas about what happens if a kohen goes up during the mincha, and if the mincha is a mincha gedela on a tainis, whether it should be stopped or whether it's okay to have him. That's already a discussion where there's no clear-cut hachra'ah. Anyway, continues the Gemara. It seems, however, that it's absolutely clear. Nobody argues about the question of whether you have to worry about shichrut. You definitely have to worry about shichrut. So where does that come from exactly, asks the Gemara? The Kulei Amar Miyat, all of the various shitas, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, they agree that certainly if there is a chashash shichrut, then we don't allow birkas kohanim. The only question is whether we can make a distinction between the tanit and the other days. Where exactly does it come from that there's an isser of a shikar also for the siyat kapayim in non-emuli? Omri b'Yeshua ben Levi mishum bar kabara. I'll tell you. If you take a look in Parsha Zanotzei, the whole Parsha of Ekayin Mevorech, which is called Tavarchu et b'nei Yisrael, Yavorech HaShem Yishmerech, etc., etc., v'samuet Shemiah b'nei Yisrael, what's the next words? The person who makes a neder for to be an ozir. What is a nazir? Nazir, what does a nazir have to do with birkas kohanim? Ah, lomar lecha, ma nazir asur b'yayin, afkali mevorach asur b'yayin. That comes to tell me that there's an isser. Matkiv l'avuda Rabbi Zera, or some say it was Roshaya bar Zavda. So then if that's the case, you should go all the way, and you should say, a nazir is not allowed to eat raisins, is he? A nazir is not allowed to eat grape pips, is he? So then a kohen is going to be nice, his kapov should be asur to eat a raisin. Why do you say it's only because of shichrut? Om Reb Yitzchak, I'll tell you why. Because the pasuk compares l'shorto to l'varech bishmo. Ma misharet is mutar becharzad. So just like we know that in doing the avedas hakarbonis, the Torah only said yain v'shechar al tesht. That's the only iser. There's no iser in eating raisins. So af the kohen mevarech is mutar becharzad, and therefore we don't go all the way to learn from the nazir. Imam Sharet Ba Mumlot, so I can ask you another question. If we're going to compare the Kohen who's Mevorech to the dinim of someone who's doing the Aveda, so what if the Kohen is a Balmum? So then if he's Osir to do Aveda, he should be Osir to do Birkas Kohenim. Af Kohen Mevorech Balmum Lo? And that's not the halacha. We're not makbid on a Balmum to say Birkas Kohenim. Well, says the Gemara, I mean, that's the reason why we have the Hekesh to the Nazir. The Torah puts together Kohen Mevorech to Parshas Nazir. So I don't understand. So now what you've done is you've decided that in both directions you'll go Lakula. If I tell you we learn it from Nazir, and you'll tell me, well, if you learn it from Nazir, why shouldn't you be Usher also in a raisin? No, because we learn it from Misharet. If we learn it from Misharet, why is it a bomb? No, because we learn it from Nazir. So in other words, we're going to look at both ends, and we're going to take the most kula that we can get. That's not normally what we do. Normally, if we have lakula v'lachumra, so we say we have no choice but to go lachumra and the araisa. So lachumra makshina. So my chazita de makashta lakula. Why then are you doing this as a kula? You should be makashit lachumra. No, because look, the whole connection is basically an esmachta. The whole thing is minarabona. So b'meila, they were mitakein lakula. Now, this is a very problematic sugya, as you can immediately, I'm sure you immediately sensed yourself, because, I mean, if we're comparing it to Misharet, so why in the world did we go and compare it to Nazir? We should have just, okay, if a Misharet is Osir, and you're comparing Birkas Kohanim to a Misharet, so then we know that a Misharet can't be drunk. So then if this is part of the Sherut, so then Birkas Kohanim can't be drunk. And in fact, if you take a look on Amud Beis that we just had in Rashi, where Rashi introduces the Gemara that says, well, why is it that we never do it at Mincha because of Shichrus? Rashi just says it's Dover Poshet. And Kohen Shatu Yayin Osir Lisat Kapav, Shinema Yayin V'Shechar Al Tesht B'Vachem. And the Siyat Kapayim is Me'en Avodah, like we see later on. I understand Rashi doesn't know how to read the Sugya later on. The Sugya later on says exactly the opposite. That we don't learn it out from Misharet. We learn it out from Nazir. The only reason we go to Misharet is to tell me not to go overboard in the limud from Nazir and to say he's Osir on raisins, right? But we didn't say, how do we know he's Osir? Because we compare it to Misharet. That's what Rashi says. So Rashi's saying against the Gemara, and then he says like we see later. What? Something's very strange here. Now, the truth is that for some reason, none of the Mefarshim on the daf deal with this issue. None of the Rishonim, none of that. It's very, very strange. However, the sugya does come up, binogea the halacha, in terms of Balmum and so on. So the Mogen Avram points out that this, and so does the Taz, that the Gemara contradicts itself. And the correct approach seems to be, and there's remuzim to it in a number of places, that there are two different dinim of Birkas Kohanim. There's actually a very nice shir from Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik on it, that there's two dinim of Birkas Kohanim. One is the din of Birkas Kohanim in the Migdash, and over there it says Beferish, Vayardu Me'asot Ha'olah, so it means it's part of the Etzem Asiyah of the Sherus. So there, Enochinami, there the comparison to Sherut is definitely going to be Ma'akev the Kohen from doing the Birkas Kohanim. But remember, as we mentioned yesterday in the introduction to the Perek, that the whole idea over here is also the extension of the Kedushas HaMishkan and Parshas Notzei into the Machan as a whole. And our Perek is dealing with that issue in terms of the Ma'amadot, that even though the Korbonos are only being dealt with in the Beis HaMikdash proper, but the Ma'amadot stretch throughout all of Eretz Yisrael, and we have the special tefillahs that in the kriyas of Maisa Bereshis and how Maisa Bereshis is dependent on the Karbonas, we have in every single city where we have the Ma'amad. And therefore, we need to deal with both levels. We need to deal with the level. I mean, I'm expanding a lot on what the shirim were about. But the point is that it makes a great deal of sense that there's one parsha of Kayan Mevorech, which goes together with Nazir. Over there, it doesn't have anything to do with the Beis HaMikdash. Just as Kodav Orchus B'nai Yisroel. Masha Ein Kein, the parsha in the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, it's going to be obvious you can't be Shikor, because it's part of the Avodah Sa'ila.